Tom, talk first off a bit of the background behind what you do with the Department of Natural Resources.
I've been with the department for about 18 years now and working in water quality. For the last 12 or 13 years, working with agriculture, livestock operations, and crops, making sure that producers are implementing proper practices to avoid impacts to groundwater and surface water.
Quite a challenge.
It is, but it's also very satisfying. I think we've seen a lot of strides in the last number of years, both in terms of our rules getting put in place to address impacts, as well as farmers complying with those rules and implementing practices designed to avoid impacts in the first place.
Now, talk a bit about, there were a couple of incidents in the history, in the past, that kind of prompted you, how you handle things today.
Right. In 2004, 2005, we had a series of runoff events associated particularly with land application of manure on farm fields. That really galvanized a lot of state, local agencies in trying to figure out ways to raise awareness about the issue of land application, particularly on frozen, snow-covered ground, and particularly during the months of February and March. So based on that, there were a number of steps that were taken by the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Agriculture, Trade, Consumer Protection, UW Extension, and other state and local agencies, and federal agencies for that matter, to try and avoid having this happen again.
All right, and some of the steps that were taken.
One of the things was to, a task force was formed to talk about this issue, and a number of things came out of that. One of the things was things that we're doing right now. Every fall and every spring, we try and do a campaign to raise farmer awareness about the risks associated with land application on frozen or snow-covered ground, particularly during the months of February and March. There are a number of efforts by our sister agencies, Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They developed a manure advisory system that you can go out and actually look at the risk of runoff throughout the state for the following 3 days, today out to another additional 3 days. So that was something that was done. In addition, you have UW Discovery Farms that has been looking at this issue in a lot of depth. And in general, having farmers develop what's called nutrient management plans, identifying where, when, how, and in what amounts you're going to be land applying your manure. In addition, developing what's called emergency response plans, looking at what you're going to do in the case of a runoff event or a spill. And those are all efforts that have been taken at the state and local level through the efforts of a lot of agencies here in the state of Wisconsin.
We also have Steve Sisbach. Steve works on the enforcement side of things. And let's talk and go back to these spills, the spills that kind of triggered this whole activity. And how did your department handle them?
Those were handled, obviously, we had, in 2004 and 2005, we had two situations where significant runoff events caused some fairly large fish kills in Wisconsin, and we had to respond to those and determine the number of fish killed, determine if any additional actions could be taken. In one situation, the department was made aware during the course of the spill that there was a problem, and we worked with the property owner and others to take steps to minimize the effects of that, to keep it from running off the landscape. A number of steps were taken. There, ditch blocks were put in. And actually, in the end, on one case, we actually used the polymer that's used to in sewage treatment plants for water quality to actually kind of glue a lot of the manure to the surface of the field until it could be incorporated back into the soil and keep it from running off into the river. But those are situations that we were hopefully trying to avoid going forward into the future. It does take time for those waterways to recover. We also don't want to risk groundwater contamination or contamination of drinking water sources. So part of the proactive effort was to prevent these things from happening again. And as Tom mentioned, a lot of people put effort into awareness. Local land conservation departments were really helpful in helping farmers find alternate sources. If they're in a situation where they're running out of storage, sometimes they've shared storage with other neighbors in order to avoid spreading during difficult times. They've also helped them find portions of their property where the chances for runoff are minimal compared to other parts of their property. A number of things came out of UW Extension also in terms of providing resource information in terms of how to respond if you do have a spill on your property. There was a number of demonstrations that were put on in various counties around the state that I believe are sponsored by the Professional Nutrient Applicators of Wisconsin, UW Extension, and they created demonstrations of how to contain and control a spill of manure. And those are actually on video now, and you can look at them on our website, and I'm sure other Department of Ag website may have it also. But it's a good reference document or tool, again, that's available to people if they want to, in advance of spring runoff, to kind of prepare for what if I do have an accidental spill, how can I contain it and control it.
Which, you know, spills, no one wants to have a spill, but they do happen. And yet there's going to be a reluctance to call DNR. I mean, they are required to do it, but yet how do you encourage them that this is something you really need to do?
Well, under the law, you are required to report a spill, and you're required to take action to minimize impacts to the environment. And if you do those two things, you've met your obligations under the spill law. So it reduces your liability. Potentially, it does help bring other resources into the picture. DNR can work with you to access other resources, contract haulers, things of that nature, to prevent and control a spill. While there is some reluctance to do that, I think I've noticed a change in that the number of spills being reported to us has actually increased over the period of time since 2004 and 2005, and I attribute that to greater awareness on the part of folks in the ag community and recognition of that responsibility, and also there's, a comfort level in addressing spills. So hopefully that encourages people to step forward and report.
Tom, you alluded to earlier, and that is that this, we're coming into a very critical time when the frost starts coming out. We don't have a lot of snow cover out there, but still runoff is a challenge out there.
Yes, the conditions at this time of the year tend to present a higher risk than other times of the year when it comes to runoff. You do have frozen ground. You do have some snow cover. You have the potential for saturated ground as the frost leaves, and then the potential for rain. All those four factors kind of make February and March a very critical time. And, you know, I guess the bottom line is that what we're really trying to do is just raise awareness about those potential concerns and the need for farmers to take extra care and to take advantage of the resources that are out there to try and avoid these spills in the first place. So while we talk about February and March being a risky time period, it comes down to farmers paying attention to the weather, when they're going to be spreading, and, you know, a couple days out from when they're spreading, to really pay attention to that. While February and March are kind of the months where they need to have that heightened awareness.
Now, if they are in a situation where the pit's full, the tank's full, whatever the case, we've got to spread something somewhere. How do they go about it?
Well, I think the best thing for them to do is to either work with their agronomist or the local land conservation department to try and identify fields that have the lowest risk for land application. And so that's one of the key things that we talk about, and look at potential, what other potential options are out there. Steve mentioned the idea of farmers sharing storage facilities. There's things that producers can do to minimize, if not eliminate, the risk of a runoff situation if they are proactive and take the right steps at the right time.
Steve, from the standpoint of what preventative measures do you see farmers taking out there to even prevent the spills? What are some of the key elements of that?
Well, I think there's the two that immediately come to mind are, one is having a manure management plan that's developed in consultation with your local conservation department or an agronomist so that you're applying properly. The other is to have adequate storage, and that gets a little dicey depending upon the year sometimes. But the other thing too is to have a plan that's accessible and available to you in advance. On our website, we have access to a one-page emergency response plan that you can fill out and keep next to your telephone, and it would have the name of some contract haulers, maybe septic haulers, and it gives you our spill reporting number, and you can include other numbers specific to your locality. The sheriff's department, for example, if you have a spill on a roadway, things of that nature. So We are seeing a lot of preventative measures. We're seeing, I think, people trying to gauge and be able to spread to and incorporate some manure in the fall if possible to increase their storage capacity in the spring. So it's kind of a lot of little things in some ways that you can do. Obviously, having the ability to store enough manure is critical, but if you run out of space, to work with local officials to try and come up with either safe sites where you can spread or maybe some kind of alternate storage for a short period of time or something too.
A couple of years ago, I think back when North Carolina had a hurricane go up through there and had hog manure systems that just overflowed because of the excessive rain. I mean, that's always a threat in Wisconsin as well, isn't it?
Weather conditions are, I mean, there's open storage. I mean, there's a lot of harvester-type storage, but there are open lagoons, and it is it's a management challenge to gauge the weather to make sure that you got adequate freeboard on your storage facilities.
But those heavy rainfalls do happen.
And, you know, it's a challenge, but it's, I think, a challenge that many of our producers here, most of our producers here in the state of Wisconsin, have been up for. We have about 235... concentrated animal feeding operations in the state. Those are the larger operations, and by and large, overtopping is not an issue. You know, they have adequate storage. They land apply when conditions are right, and they've been able to avoid those impacts that you're talking about.
The other challenge is always that creek or stream running through farmland. That presents an extra challenge to you, doesn't it?
Again, a lot of the practices and the educational tools and the nutrient management plans and emergency response plans that farmers, we encourage farmers to create, and there are resources out to help farmers create those. They look at those particularly vulnerable landscapes, and they have setbacks or they have ways to address and minimize the potential for runoff events to occur, even in cases where you do have streams, you know, drainage ditches like that that lead to streams nearby.
And the website to visit for more information?
One of our, for the manure management advisory system developed by the Department of Agriculture is www.manureadvisorysystem.wi.gov. That's G-O-V.